I talk to a lot of restaurant owners that share the same sentiment with me. They say, I just know how to run my restaurant. I walk into the kitchen and I know what needs to be done. I walk into the dining room, I know what needs to be done. I walk behind the bar, I know what needs to be done. This idea that I know all and my people just don't know as much, that's not a failure on their part. I believe it's a failure on the owner's part. So we're going to talk about the problem. We're going to talk most importantly about the solution. Really, it's about dialing in something called figure eights. Many of you maybe have heard of it. Maybe some of you have never heard of a figure eight. No matter where you lie on it, we're going to bring you up to speed and show you how you can integrate this idea into your training and your steps of service to make a better, more efficient, more profitable restaurant. All that on today's episode of Restaurant Strategy. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close and this is Restaurant Strategy Podcast, dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you build that more profitable and sustainable business. I give talks all over the world on the topic of profitability. I wrote a book called The Restaurant Marketing Mindset, which has everything to do with how we separate our brand from the competitors in the market. How do you make yours something that people crave? I run a mastermind called the P3 Mastermind, geared towards independent operators, helping them dial in their profitability. And then, of course, I have this podcast. Do me a favor. If you get any sort of value from this show, I want you to take just 1 minute. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Let people know what you've gotten out of the show and just let them know why you think they should tune into it. That more than anything else would help this, my small business. It helps us grow our community. I'd be eternally grateful. Again, Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating review. Just let people know why you love this show. Torque understands that expectations for food service, sustainability, and guest experience are higher than ever. That's why Torque provides products and services that help restaurants meet those demands. With more than 50 years of global food service expertise, Torque can help you keep up with hygiene standards and food safety guidelines in all areas of your business. Front of house, back of house, restrooms, and drive. From Express Snap, the world's favorite napkin dispenser, to multi-purpose cleaning towels that clean smarter and high-capacity restroom dispensers that reduce runouts, Torque offers better hygiene for better guest and staff experiences. You can check them out and get more tips at torqueusa.com/restaurant. Again, that's torqueusa.com/restaurant. As always, you're going to find that link in the show notes. Now, on today's episode, we're going to talk about the problem, and then we're going to talk about, most importantly, the solution. Here's the problem. Here's the thing I hear all the time. Restaurant owners say, again, I just know how to run my restaurant. I walk in and I know what needs to be done, and I feel like my people don't know how to do it. Number one, that's a failure on your part, that you have not trained them properly, that you have not taught them how to have eyes for the restaurant, right? What you have to do, and this is the hard part. I'm not saying it's easy. The hard part, and the reason that, again, if it was easy, everyone would do it. What makes it so challenging is that you have to systematize the things that come natural to you. The things that are intuitive to you aren't necessarily intuitive to your managers, your servers, your bartenders, your bussers. And think about your bussers, for example. We're gonna dial in a little bit deeper into that later in the episode. But think about your bussers or your hosts. They are green. They are often young. They've never worked in restaurants or never worked in this kind of restaurant. I spent a lot of time in fine dining. Most of my hosts were college kids. They didn't necessarily know what it was like to work in fine dining. They'd never dined out at a restaurant as fancy as the one that they were now working in. Right. Same thing with our bussers. They are green and they need to be taught. So the problem is not that they don't know how to do it, is that they haven't been taught how to do it. That very much is your job. Your job is to systematize everything or as much as you possibly can so that you can teach people how to have eyes for the restaurant and how to take steps, how to take actions so that they can do this, right? That's the main problem, and we have to highlight it right from the beginning. It is not a failure on the part of the employee. It is a failure on the part of the employer. It's because we didn't do what was required to teach them what they needed to teach. I always talk about this four-step plan, this four-step framework for how we get anything done in the restaurant, right? We hire for it, we train for it, we model it, and then we coach. And let's go through there, right? You hire for it, meaning you look for people who have the capacity to do what you need them to do. You don't necessarily need people who know how to do all this stuff, but you do need to find people who have the capacity to do this, right? So if you're hiring for servers or bartenders or, you know, hosts, they need to be friendly. They need to be warm and engaging. If somebody doesn't want to be warm and friendly, then they're never going to be able to do what you are going to teach them to do. So they need to have the capacity to do it. Then your training plans, right? Your training, you teach them how to do what you need them to do or how you want them to do it, right? You show them what to do, how to do it, and why it matters that they do it in this way. That becomes really crucial, right? So you hire for it. You look for people who have the capacity to do what you need them to do. Then you train for it. You teach them. You show them. You give them the tools they need to succeed at the tasks you want them to do. Next, you model it, right? Now, I do not believe that a restaurant owner needs to be there all the time. But you have to model certain behavior and certain structures and certain behaviors for your team, right? So that your upper leadership can train the line level employees. And it goes all the way down. So you hire for it, meaning you look for people with the capacity to do it. You train for it, meaning you teach them and give them the tools they need to succeed. You model a behavior, so you show them, or you have your managers show the line level employees, right? You model a behavior. And then this is really crucial. You coach on it every day, every night in real time. This goes back to this idea that Danny Meyer talked about in his book, Setting the Table, right? This idea of constant gentle pressure, right? He talks about the salt shaker theory. I'm not going to bother you with it now. Go read the book. It's one of the most important books that a restaurant owner or an operator can read. He knows what he's talking about. He's done it for a very long time at a very high level, but the salt shaker theory and therefore constant gentle pressure, constant. Gentle meaning there's no reason to be disrespectful, raise your voice and yell, but there is pressure. There are expectations. There will be repercussions if somebody can't do it. So you hire people with the capacity, you show them, you teach them, you train them, you model the behavior so you show that it is possible, you know how to do it so that they can see it in practice, and then you coach, meaning you listen in, you eavesdrop, you oversee, and when it happens, when you see something happen, you pull them aside and say, hey, that was really great, I love the way you did that there, or you say, hey, I watched you do that there, it was a nice effort, but I think you missed an opportunity here, or what I would have done was this, or here's how you could have done that better. I mean, you do it in real time. The number of pre-shift meetings that I've sat through where I just hear a bunch of managers lecturing a staff of 10, 20, 40, 50 people, we have to do this and this and this and this and this, and then we go into service and all of it goes out the window. It's because we're not following up and coaching in real time so that when it happens, that's the time to do it. You say, hey, I just watched you over there. Great job. Or, hey, I just overheard you over there. Let me give you a little bit of feedback on that. That's how we begin to do it. Now, there's something more systematic that I want to show you. And we're going to talk about that on the second half of the episode after a word from another one of our sponsors. Pop Menu has reimagined the restaurant. They're breaking the mold of the menu, taking the kitchen doors off the hinges, and serving up their most comprehensive technology solution yet. It's called Pop Menu Max. It comes with all the previous ingredients that we've talked about on this podcast, right? So websites designed with SEO, marketing tools that are meant to keep you top of mind with your guests, and of course, the patented interactive menu technology. But now this new recipe brings automated phone answering to the table, third-party online order aggregation, waitlisting, and more. For example, PopMenu's phone answering technology has your ringing phones covered. With AI, right? Artificial intelligence, the simple questions that are now keeping your phone line tied up can soon be handled by the computer without pulling a staff member from your in-person hospitality. So, no more missed reservations, no more having to tell people what your hours are, no more missed revenue, and that's just the beginning. You have a passion for food, PopMenu has a passion for technology. Together, it's a recipe for restaurant success. And now, even more digital ingredients are in their technology pantry, and PopMenu is helping restaurants attract, engage, remarket, and transact with their guests on a whole new level. Trust me, if you're a restaurant owner, you need PopMenu to take your business to the next level. For a limited time only, get $100 off your first month, plus you get to lock in one unchanging monthly rate. Go to popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy to claim this offer. Again, that's $100 off your first month by visiting popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy. And yes, you'll find that link in the show notes. Okay, so now we're talking about this problem, right, where owners and operators are very good at their job. They understand intuitively what needs to happen in any given moment, right? They can tell when we're backed up at the bar, when we're back running long on tickets, when we're backed up at the front door. They can tell when tables need to be bussed, when the servers are in the weeds. They can tell when the cooks are going down. They get it, right? I'm sure this resonates with you. The problem is, the sentiment I hear a lot from restaurant owners is, my staff just doesn't have eyes for the restaurant in the way that I have eyes for the restaurant, and so I have trouble leaving my restaurant because I feel like no one's going to do it as well as I can. And I get that, but that's a failure on the part of leadership, that you haven't properly systematized what needs to be done. You haven't systematized what you do. I always talk about this a lot. We're like a baseball manager, right? There are a lot of great baseball players, but not all players make great managers. There's a reason that catchers, right, historically have made for good managers, or third basemen have made for good managers. And of course, there are tons of examples out there. It's because those two positions, for the most part, if you've been in the league for a long time, watch so many plays. They're so close to the action, but not often involved, right? Ball doesn't get to hit to the third baseman all that often. You don't get base runners to third nearly as much as you get base runners to first. So they are observing, they're watching the batter, the pitchers, the other fielders, they're watching the runners on first, on second. It rarely comes to them. And of course, when a base runner is on third, well, then they have to get involved. Then they're focusing on what they need to do. But all the other times, they get to focus a little bit at least on what everyone else is doing. Same thing with the catchers. Catchers have this great connection to the pitcher, but they're also right there with the batters. They're right there with the umpire, and they see the entire field. Oftentimes, when the ball gets put into play, they are not involved with the play. Yeah, maybe they're backing somebody up, right? They're backing up first base on a throw from second to first, but they are not involved in the play in the same way that the second baseman is, right? Now, it's an analogy, right? The whole point of that is to equate that to you and what you do, right? Great players, right? Like, let's say a Michael Jordan in basketball, I think he knows he wouldn't necessarily be a good coach. Now, if you ever hear him talk about how he plays, he gets asked the question, why do you think you're so good? Why are you better than this player or that player? What makes you the best of all time? And he can't answer it because he just goes out there and does it. His intuition, his gut, his reactions just take over. He can't explain to you why he cut left instead of continued going right. He can't. Great managers, right? Being a great leader, a great coach, is a skill. It's a skill that can be trained. Not everyone can do it. But if you own a restaurant, you have to be good at it. So you don't have the luxury of being like a Michael Jordan, right? You don't have that luxury. You have to be good at it. So if you're not good at it, you have to get good at it. So if you find yourself walking around saying, my team just doesn't have eyes for the restaurant, they just don't know what needs to be done, they're missing this, they're missing that, they're missing this, then that's because you haven't properly shown them all the things that you need to know. The point of this episode is that. I want you to take ownership of that. That becomes really important. The other piece is I want to give you a very technical, systematic practice that will help you implement this, that will help you get better at this. And it's this idea of a figure eight. Figure eight, you'll find a lot of chains, a lot of groups do this. The idea is it's a series of tasks. It's a way of thinking about the minute-to-minute execution of a given job. And when I've trained, when I've been service director, when I've trained teams, especially in fine dining, right, where you've got captain, front waiter, back waiter, barista, food runners, sommeliers, floor managers, bartenders, barbacks, there's a whole lot of people on the floor and they all have to work together. So the whole thing is, how do we get them good at what they do? How do we make sure that in any given moment they know what they're supposed to do next? Now, so that's at the fine dining level, but chains, both QSR and full service restaurant, utilize these. Starbucks is great at these. Big B Coffee. I had Mike McFall on the show a couple years ago. He and his organization are exceptionally good at these. The whole idea is thinking about like the TikTok of a job. You know, what do you have to do from a minute-to-minute basis to be successful? The whole example, the best example I can give is when we used to train bussers. When we train bussers in fine dining, oftentimes these are kids. They're young and they are very green. They've never worked in a restaurant this nice, nor have they ever dined in a restaurant this nice. So how do I teach them how to be very successful in their job? Because they've got two people above them, right? So a busser or a back waiter also then has a front waiter and a captain above them, and then a floor manager above them. They're sort of the bottom of the totem pole as far as the service staff, and yet they're absolutely crucial to the success of service on any given night. So what do? We teach them their figure eight. There are five things that I would always teach a busser, and that's bread, water, clear, reset, help. I just say, hey, this is how you succeed. You stand in your station, you look at all your tables, and you make sure everyone has bread. If everyone has bread, you look and make sure everyone has water. Who needs to be topped off? Who needs to be refilled? Who needs another bottle of whatever, right? So bread, water, clear. Are there any courses that need to be cleared? Any trash? Any dead glassware? Any tables that need to be totally bust because it's the end of their meal, right? So again, bread, water, clear. The next one is reset. Reset means, are there any tables that have just been bust that need to be reset for the next seating? Or are there any tables that need to be marked for their next course? Because especially in fine dining, we've got multi-course dining. So we clear their appetizers, we set them up for their mid-course. We clear their mid-course, we set them up for their main course. We clear their main course, we crumb them, we get them ready with dessert menus to decide what they're going to do for dessert. So bread, water, clear, reset, and the last one is help. This is how I fold teamwork into their jobs, because I make sure that each busser is spending 20% of their time helping someone else. Bread, water, clear, reset, and then you go ask your neighbor to your right if they need anything. Bread, water, clear, reset, help. You ask the person in the station to your left if they need any help. And then afterwards, you go up to the back to the bar and see if they need any help. You go to the podium and see if they need any help seating. You go to the kitchen, see if they need any help. Bread, water, clear, reset, help. That's it. So 20% of their time is spent focused on helping the others in the restaurant. And when I have 8 or 10 bussers on the floor, that's a lot of people offering up help. Because when one station has time, you can better believe it, that at least one other station could use an extra hand. Hey, yep, can you help me clear table 12 while I go clear table 10? That's the kind of thing that happens. What you do, and that's called a figure eight, bread, water, clear, reset, help. Bread, water, clear, reset, help. The figure eight is obviously an infinity symbol. It goes round and round and round and round. What happens is when you find somebody in the back sipping coffee, checking their phone, you simply go up to them and say, hey, where are you in your figure eight? Right? Where are you in your figure eight? This is nowhere on your figure eight. Not saying you can't step off the floor and use the restroom, or step off the floor and send a text message to the babysitter, or step off the floor and just check your messages. That's okay. We're all adults. That's fine. But you have to make sure to have coverage, and you have to make sure that everything is locked down before you step away from your station. So nobody should ever be out of position. Then when somebody is up talking to the hostess at the front, when somebody's in the back sort of chit-chatting, when somebody's, you know, sort of farting around in the locker room, that's not where they need to be. Their tasks on a minute-to-minute, that TikTok basis, is very, very clear. This is how you help people succeed. So bussers, right? Bussers only have to be focused on those tasks. And if they do those tasks over and over and over and over, they will succeed. And your front waiter will have it. Your server will have it. Your bartenders, your barbacks, your hosts. Perfect example for hosts, right? And this was different in each restaurant, but usually it was like, you know, give me table updates, you know, clean the front area, right? Windex the front windows, clear trash and cigarette butts from the front of the door, right? So give me table status updates. So tell me who's on entree, tell me who's on dessert, tell me who's paying their check. you know, go clean up the front area because that's our first impression for most of our guests, right? Check, you know, clean up the bar, you know, tucking in, arranging bar seats. When somebody's sitting at the bar and they get taken to the table, the bar seats are just sort of like disheveled. That was my pet peeve. So give me status updates, clean the front door, fix the bar, go check the bathrooms, and then go check in with the kitchen, right? It was those five things over and over and over. I used to do table eights for myself, right? When I was maitre d', for example, or when I was service director. There are things you do from a minute-to-minute basis to make sure that the place succeeds. And what happens is when you build this figure eight for all of the departments of your restaurant, nobody will ever be out of position. That's why Starbucks works so efficiently. That's why Big B Coffee works so efficiently. That's why Hillstone works so efficiently. So you just look at the best restaurants out there and you just do what they're doing. That's what I want to talk about. I want to try and keep this short and sweet. I appreciate you guys being here. As I always do, one final reminder, please, if you get any sort of value out of the show, you can do me a really big favor. It's absolutely free. Go to Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Just let people know what you love about the show, what sort of value you've gotten out of the show, and why you think they should tune into the show. That, more than anything else, would help me grow this community, would help me continue to build this, my small business. I appreciate you guys being here every single week. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next time.